The 2011 Mudgee Wine and Food Festival kicked off in style with the big wine show dinner on Friday night and, of course, the awarding of trophies and medals from the wine show itself. Entries were up to 341 this year across all the classes, and the word is the standard was very, very good. The head judge can tell us a bit more. Wine writer Greg Duncan Powell sniffed and swirled his way through all of them. Morning, Greg.
G'day, Dougal.
How tough was it? 3 days of tasting?
It's pretty hard work, but you know, you wouldn't do it unless you loved it.
No, exactly. And I mentioned 341. I think that was a record entry for Mudgee.
Yeah. And you know, like the standard, I was really surprised at the standard. We got, out of that many entries, we got 25 gold, 59 silver, and 149 bronze. So it's a pretty good strike rate.
Right. Okay. Just tell us a bit about how you work the points out for the awarding of medals then.
Well, there's five judges. Well, there's three judges and two associates, and we all sit down, you know, and we see the wines blind and in different classes, and give them a score out of 20, and then we add them all up and see where they arrive, like gold, silver, or bronze. That's basically it.
And are you wanting to achieve a certain score for a gold medal, though?
Yeah.
Or does it depend on what the standard is anyway?
No, you know, you've got to get 8.5 out of 20 for a gold. And obviously you try to keep that, like a standard in your mind about where that is, you know, and that a gold medal at Mudgee will get a gold medal everywhere else, you know. So you're trying all the time to sort of have this, a sort of ideal of what a gold medal wine should taste like and look like and feel like. And yeah, that's basically it, and you just go through wine by wine.
Yeah, so 25 gold medals out of all of that it seems like quite a lot. So it's generally the standard across the board was, I mean, was it better than you expected?
Well, yeah, much better. That 7% of the entries got a gold. And I was expecting, having not been to Mudgee and tasted, like, a lot since probably the mid-90s, I was expecting a few more winemaking faults, and you know, you can taste wines, and sometimes you don't even have to taste them; you can just smell them and know that, you know, they're not right. But most of these wines we really had to look at because they were all, you know, of a good standard, and that was surprising. But the other thing was that, you know, you got so many great wines in so many different styles. You know, Mudgee is a really versatile wine growing region that can do a lot of different things.
So tell us about some of the standout classes then, where some of the really good wine was.
Well, you know, Mudgee's always had a reputation for reds, and before I came up there, I thought the reds would be strongest, and what really surprised me was the whites and the elegance of the whites. You know, Riesling is really doing well in Mudgee at the moment. The Chardonnays were way better than I expected. The Semillons were obviously good because Mudgee has a reputation for Semillon. But, you know, we tasted some museum. This is the other thing, great thing about the Mudgee Wine Show is they've got these museum classes where you don't have to actually have a commercial quantity to be able to enter your wine in the show.
Mm.
So, you know, if you got three bottles, you can put two of them in the show and maybe pick up a medal. And what it does, it really shows how good Mudgee wines age. You know, we tasted a Semillon Chardonnay that dated back to 1990 that still was looking good.
Yeah.
I found pretty amazing.
That's great, isn't it? And what about the reds then? I mean, obviously you were a bit surprised by the whites. Were the reds as good as you were hoping, expecting?
Yeah. Obviously Shiraz is a really strong point. The 2010 vintage was a bit tricky, so they were a bit hard tasting, and you know they needed a bit of time to open up. 2011 looks good. 2009 is really, really good. So they're the sort of ones that are around about now. There was a really good Merlot. There was quite a few really good Merlots, and Mudgee's always, you know, was one of the pioneers with Carlo Carino at Montrose with the Italian varieties, and you know, some of those are really good as well.
So what about the overall, I mean, was it hard to pick an overall winner? Because I know you sort of come down, you've got to pick the wine of the show, haven't you, at the end of the day?
That actually gets picked sort of on its own because it's the one with the highest score. So you don't really know what you're doing when you do it. But that was actually a Chardonnay.
It was a Chardonnay this year?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in previous years, I think last year, there was a couple of wines that were, they were just neck and neck. They had to be retasted several times. Did you have that problem this year, or was this a standout?
No, we had a couple of taste-offs for a couple of trophies, and there was one that was unanimous, and there was one where, you know, there was a bit of a punch-up with the judges. We got through it all right.
It's interesting how the things work behind closed doors, if you like. I mean, there's three judges. You had a couple of associates, Jacob Steen and Liam Heslop, who are young winemakers who are doing great things. I mean, what sort of input do they have in the overall judging of this?
Oh, they're great. Obviously, they know the region really well. And so, I mean, there's this thing that we coined Mudgy Magic, which is a regional character that appears on the reds that I'm a real fan of. You know, some call it funky, and when it's really strong, it can seem like it's a winemaking fault, you know. And so, you know, the guys who are actually there on the ground can actually they know the region a bit better, so they were able to point us in the right direction with some of that regional characters, and also, you know, like give us a bit of info on vintage. You know, what happened at vintage?
What was happening? Yeah.
Yeah. That sort of stuff.
And I guess that insight helps with exactly what you're getting on the nose or on the palate, just with what that can be.
Yeah, yeah. And ultimately what it does for someone like me is, you know, I've come back here and I now, you know, I feel like I really know Mudgy regional styles, and it's really good, you know. You taste one really intensely over 3 days, and it just gives you such a good idea of regional characters and what a region is capable of.
Yeah, and does that then give you a slightly different perspective? And I mentioned you're a wine writer. You write for a couple of magazines and put out books yourself. If you haven't been to Mudgy since the mid-90s, it's a fair time between drinks, excuse the pun. Does that give you a different outlook then? And, you know, is it something you would write about a bit more now?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I get to see a lot of Mudgy wine because they send it to me.
Yes.
But mainly it's the bigger companies that send it to me. So what I miss out on is all what those little guys are doing, which is often the most interesting stuff. So, it's really great for that, and definitely, I'm sort of, you know, I've been sort of thinking about an article in my head already. So.
Good stuff. Yeah, yeah. So it's now basically a month full of celebrations of all sorts of things and matching food and wines and that sort of stuff. But just you're obviously someone involved fairly heavily in the industry. Are you fairly confident of how Mudgy stacks up against other regions?
Yeah, and this is what I said on Friday night. You know, a lot of wine regions think that you've got to sort of hang your hat on one variety and market yourself for one variety because, you know, the marketing people would think that the consumer needs a simple message so they're not confused. But I would argue that, you know, Mudgy should sort of market itself on its diversity. And that's what really makes it special, that it can do so many things so well. And, you know, I think the future is really good, actually.
And plenty of friendly people, which always makes it special as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the good thing about it. To go up and do a show like that, you're not going there as a tourist because you're sort of part of the action. You get to meet everyone, and no, I had a great time.
Good on you. Very nice to talk to you, Greg. Thanks for that.
All right.
Greg Duncan Powell, head wine judge, wine writer, who enjoyed himself at the Mudgy Wine Show and Wine Show Dinner. And congratulations to Mudgy. Congratulations to the winners. 25 gold medals and some fantastic wines by the sound of it.